It is time for the Home Improvement Show. Joanne Brackus here, sitting with Walter Assey, president of Vernovco, who is taking your calls, 514-790-0800. The text line is down, but we are taking calls. Many of you calling in, of course, dealing with the aftermath of Debbie. There was a water main break in Montreal, here in Montreal. That was pretty spectacular to see, which caused a bunch of floods. That was happening yesterday. Walter has also some news about the show before he takes the calls.
Well, I mean, I guess it's great news for everyone. The show is now national.
So people are listening to us from different cities and at different times.
That's right, across Canada.
Welcome to all of the audiences from across Canada. Here in Montreal, it's been a bit of a pickle. We're not going to lie. Every weekend sees another exciting event when it comes to water. Wayne has been waiting on the line patiently. Wayne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Wayne, take it away. Walter's right here.
Good morning, Walter.
Good morning.
I am a victim of a flood. I'll go through it briefly. Friday around 7:30, the water started coming up through the basement drain. Fortunately, I caught it quickly, and I piled a bunch of wood and tiles on top of it and kept the water inflow to about 4 to 5 inches. It covered my whole complete basement, which had what's it called, furring and then plywood and then floating floor.
Yep.
Well, my brother who built houses happened to be in town. He came in, he said, you got to rip everything up, and you had, 4 inches of water, 4 to 5 inches. You have to cut 12 inches right now, right now. So we ran around and cut 12 inches of drywall around every interior and exterior wall. We pulled out the insulation and put in a whole bunch of fans and 3 dehumidifiers. Now, my question, Walter, is this. I can go and do the conventional, put the wood slats down and the plywood and either a PVC or a regular floating floor. Or I've been advised to put maybe a kind of a dimple layer and put PVC on it. Now, a friend of mine just redid his basement. He put PVC and he swears by it. What is your opinion? What should I do?
Walter?
So the PVC flooring is great in the sense that it's waterproof and it's easy to, you know, take out and install in case of a flood. You could reuse it. It has many different good qualities to it. When you do have a flood or a water damage, you still need to rip it out. So that's not gonna, it's not like putting porcelain on cement or epoxy flooring that will save that a step. The dimple membrane is exactly what you need to put because, as you know, black paper is not allowed anymore for good reasons. So, but then again, in the case of a flood, the dimple membrane would have to go. But these are 2 waterproof membranes, meaning you could reuse them if you want to, simply because they're made of materials that does not absorb and retain water. So it is a good thing. The only disadvantage you're going to see with vinyl flooring, it's very finicky when it comes to the leveling of your basement. Vinyl plank flooring does not like uneven floor. So it will separate and will cause you problems. So a word of advice if you're going with this, ensure that you do a good job on the leveling of your cement slab in the basement. Before you embark on that, or else you're going to have the vinyl separating on you in no time.
Does that answer your question?
Yes. Oh. So, essentially, Walter, would you recommend that I go forward with the vinyl? And is the dimple underneath a good thing, as opposed to some of them come with adhesive and you just stick it to the floor?
The dimple is very good. It's what we recommend for subfloor, for cement slabs. And the vinyl is a very good flooring, 100%.
So in that case, you encourage me to go with the vinyl direction as opposed to the conventional 3-layer
absolutely.
Slabs, I mean, plywood, and wood.
Okay, so it's let me just... Okay, for the purpose of flooding, it's an easier way to rip things out clean disinfect, and you're using the same floor, so you're minimizing the financial damage. As far as comfort, a subfloor will cut the humidity. It makes the floor more even. It's if you wish, more comfortable to walk on. So they both have different advantages and disadvantages. But if the flooding and the water damage is what we're worrying about, then it's definitely the way to go.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you for that call. We've got John on the line. Jimmy, is John still there? John, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, Walter. Hello, Joanne.
Hi.
I'm calling because I'd like Walter. I missed the four names of the cleaning cement products that he mentioned on the first caller there. If you can repeat them to me.
And this is not an advertising or an endorsement. This is just
for
information.
Informational purposes only.
Yes, yes.
Benefect, Cognorium, Foster.
Oh my God. How do you spell the first one?
Benefect is B-E-N-F-E-C-T.
S-E-C-T, yes.
The other one would be Mold Control. That's easy for you to remember or to write.
Okay. Okay.
Foster, F-O-S-T-E-R.
F-O-S-T-E-R.
Or Cognorium.
Oh,
C-O-C-N-O-R-I-U-M. I feel like it's spelling me.
Yeah. Does that help you, John?
Yes. Thank you so much. I just have one question for Walter.
Yeah.
My friend there, she's in Laval. The whole street flooded. And she faxed, emailed, and called her broker and the insurance company. 7 days, no answer at all. Can she go out and get her own cleaner, or would that be a mistake?
John, absolutely yes. The people that are waiting, and I can't emphasize this enough, Joanne, it's very important that we talk about this. Mm-hmm. The people that are waiting still are not doing themselves a favor. You know,
right. The
most of these people have maximums on their insurance anyway. So it's not like they're going to get a medal from the insurance company just before because they waited. You're supposed to have intervened in general within 24 to 48 hours of a flood. And now we're day seven, eight.
And Walter did mention something to me. And when he came in, the air quality, right? Because the mold spores have set in. And the longer you wait with all of this messy stuff.
You know. One of the listeners texted me actually on my phone because he can't text to the station. He was gonna text here, and he mentioned that, and it's true. I was actually just thinking about that this morning. Now you walk on streets that have been flooded, and you have all that furniture and debris outside, the wet ones on the yard, and you smell on the street the smell of mold and
it's
rot
musty,
and
right?
Musty
it's like
smell.
A gym sock.
Yeah.
So that's cause for concern, because now the outdoor air becomes an issue, believe it or not. If you go to the street and you take the outdoor quality and go to another street that was not flooded, you're going to see a difference there as well.
Yeah, John, I think Walter's takeaway is she should start. She should have started. She should start and document.
But will she get in trouble because the insurance will say, no, you didn't go with our cleaner?
By the way, by law, she has the right to hire any company she wants. And I'm going to repeat that. By law, they cannot force a cleaner on her.
Okay.
So
great,
she should
great.
Start that. Thank you, John.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
This is the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey, president of Renovco. Welcome back. Walter Assey, president of Renovco, continues to take your questions. 514-790-0800. Text line, unfortunately, is down today, but we are taking calls. I have a question here that came in yesterday from Tasso in Westmount. He ran his heat pump for 24 hours during last week's flooding, and he wants to know if it needs to be replaced. Does it?
No. So it depends how much water we had in the basement. So typically, if you would have had an issue, your furnace would have stopped working anyways, or the breaker would have jumped. What I would say is to have a CVC technician come and check it out. And in most cases, it's nothing that is major to change unless you have several feet of water in your basement. That's a no-brainer. Simply replacing the wet insulation in the furnace and off you go.
Nice cleaning. Have it checked?
nice cleaning.
Yeah.
Change the filter, nice cleaning, and change the insulation, and you should be good to go.
Okay. I hope that helps Tasso out. Now time to get to the phones. Jimmy, we have Noreen on the line. Noreen, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
All right. Take it away for Walter.
Okay. I'm calling for my daughter. She has an outer townhouse. Her bedroom is on the second floor above the porch. And she noticed, she has no idea how long it's been that way because there was a table in front of it, so the eye just didn't hit it. But there was an area in the very corner of the room, the outside corner of the room above the porch, where the wall looked darker and there was something that may be mold on the baseboard at the bottom. And this went up about 12 to 18 inches from the floor on both sides of the corner.
Okay.
To the two walls.
Mm-hmm.
She wiped it down and got rid of most of the surface discoloration. It does not feel wet on the inside of the wall.
Are you asking if it's mold?
I'm asking, we're figuring that there must have been some water infiltration somehow. And we're asking, what do we do to try and figure out where it's coming from?
Mm. Okay, so this is on an exterior wall in a bedroom, right?
That's correct.
And is that's back elevation of the house? Is it on the back elevation of the house, like the backyard? Or is
no,
facing the front?
Between the front and the side yard, that corner.
Okay.
Of the porch.
Is it like an exposed, like if you wish, wood tunnel where an area that could have a lot of wind and rain?
Yeah, I suppose it could, yes.
Okay.
And there's no inside wall. There's no... The first floor of the house is not under it.
Got it. Okay. So I understand. It's like a cantilever type of structure. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's happening is probably condensation in the cold weather primarily that is making the walls sweat. So you won't feel the water damage. You won't feel the softness on the drywall because it's just a question of condensation. And that condensation by itself creates mold.
You mean condensation inside the room?
Correct. Well,
not inside the wall.
Inside the wall as well, because if the wall is missing, insulation, what happens is that the hot air from the room is going to meet the cold air from the inside, and it's just going to start sweating and condensating in the wall cavity itself, rendering the insulation wet or humid at least, and then eventually getting through the drywall. And then you're going to start seeing those mold spores and what have you.
So just now, the wall sweating means that there's mold either there or on its way.
She sees the mold. So
oh, yeah.
We know that.
Right.
That
no, but
in general,
if you see your wall sweating.
Yeah.
Okay.
So long-term condensation usually will lead to mold.
Okay.
That's why it's important that, you know, if you have areas where you know you don't have enough insulation and it's the wind tunnel, meaning in the winter, it's exposed to a lot of wind. It gets, you know, that's where, because different elevations of the house tend to receive the elements differently, depending how you placed. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, these areas are more usually, because, you know, sometimes you say, but the back room is okay, yeah, but your back room is not where the wind tunnel is. So when it's minus 40 and it's blowing, it's getting, you know, through that much easier just because the wind is
stronger. Not all walls are equal.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good idea to get to the insulation of everywhere once, as soon as you start renovating each room to get to it. But in this case, and making it cantilevered structure like that means also the flooring aspect of it is probably not adequately insulated, which doesn't help. So you have like, you could be potentially suffering from both the floor and as well as the wall itself not adequately insulated.
Okay, so you figure that it's not moisture coming from outside, it's just sweating.
Most likely than not, it's condensation, yes.
And what's the solution? Is it to open up the inside wall and try and get more? And I suppose because it's a corner, it would have to have a a stud there, so there's less room for insulation.
Well, it's not really just a stud the issue. It's going to be the wall in general. You're going to have to open about, like, I would open 2-3 feet just to see how the insulation is behaving. What is the insulation there? From the bottom of the cantilever, I would look, there's probably soffits or something. I would open that up and I'll see if they sprayed foam that area as well. And then we can decide the best course to do with that.
Ah, right. So you could take off the aluminum.
Correct.
From the ceiling of the porch.
Bravo. That's exactly what I would do.
And okay.
Okay, Noreen, thanks for your call. Thanks for your call. 514-790-0800. Walter Assey, president of Renovco, continues to take your questions. We've got calls coming in. I do want to quickly address that water main burst. We are getting, you know, a lot of people are dealing with that in downtown Montreal. If someone was flooded from the downtown, in the downtown area, the same rules. It doesn't matter that it's a water main. All that water came out, which means the sewage came up, right?
Well, here's yes. I mean, it's overland. If it's overland water, it's category 2, so it's lightly contaminated.
Lightly contaminated.
Yeah, but let me. It's actually good that we're talking about this because there's some misconceptions. Number one would be category 2 water. Is lightly contaminated. Sewer is category 3, very contaminated. But category 2 can become category 3 water if you don't mitigate within 24 to 48 hours.
You don't want the category 3.
Well, you don't want the category 2 either. You don't want any water, really, if you think about it, because they can all become category 3. But very important, like at this stage of the game, if you're flooded, it doesn't really matter where the water came from. It's all considered category 3 at this point. That's why you need to start taking action. Insurance companies are nowhere to be heard of. Now it's time to take charge of your home.
Yeah, take charge of your home and your health in this. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey, president of Renovco. Welcome back. Walter Assey, president of Renovco, is here. Of course, this is his show, the Home Improvement Show, here to take your calls. I'm Joanne Vrakas, 514-790-0800. Many of you still dealing with the after effects of Debbie. Yesterday in downtown Montreal, a water main burst causing, I mean, if you haven't seen it, the water that exploded into the air was quite something to see. Lots of flood damage there, of course. Let's get straight to these calls, Walter. I think, Jimmy, we have Robert first. Robert, can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
Hi, how Robert. Take it away.
Good morning. I live in Laval. I got water last week, about half an inch, maybe an inch max, just below the drywall. On my street, I was probably the only home. And ironically, I'm the one that has the highest elevation. They redid the whole infrastructures of our street last fall. They even added rain gutters or rain sewers on the sides. So, you know, and the guy from the city said, you're never going to get water in your house. You know, it's practically impossible. So I got this water coming out from my two drains. I have two backflow valves as well. I checked those. Those seem to be working fine. My question to you is what should I look for now to resolve this issue?
You have two backflow valves and are they installed where your drains, like your fixtures are? What, do you have a bathroom in the basement?
I have no bathroom. It's an unfinished basement. Okay. The only thing I have is in the utility room, I have two laundry sinks basically.
Okay.
There's the first valve is there. It's actually maybe 5 feet from the drain.
Okay.
And the other one is also about 2.5 feet or 2 feet from the drain as well.
So anything that have a drain to attach to it have a backflow valve?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
During the storm, one of the things that we need to be mindful of, and that might help hopefully for the next storm, is avoid using your water.
Okay.
Because the way it works is very simple. You have water coming in and water coming out, and it's a flap. right? So the less you use your water, the less likely you're going to have that flap. Because when you do that, you're asking that flap to open. Mm. So it will allow...
I didn't use the water. I had no power. We had no power here for like 12 hours.
Okay, so the water was not... So, I mean, I don't know what happened. What I can tell you is a lot of people with backwater valves were flooded this time. I mean, I don't know if that's going to make you feel better or worse.
That you're not alone.
You're not alone. You know, we got a lot of rain in such a short period of time. The systems were overloaded. So the pressure, the sheer pressure that was probably just coming down, you know, the only good news for you is probably you got half an inch or an inch. If you didn't have one, you would have had 3 to 4 feet. Okay. So that's pretty much how it would have helped. But the fact that you have a backwater valve is not the only answer, unfortunately.
It can't be the only security.
Yeah. Because, I mean,
would it be a good idea? I put in just yesterday, I purchased these anti-backflow, the sewer cap that you put in with the ball that rises and shuts off the... doesn't allow the water to come out. Would that be a good idea?
It's not a bad idea. I mean, any little thing can help. You know, the other issue is, are you sure it only came from the drain? Because in a lot of cases, we've seen 2 to 3 different points of entry, including from the slab itself. There was just simply a lot of hydrostatic pressure that there was water coming from the cracks in the slab. There was water seeping from the foundation walls, from the footing around the French drain. And these are all sometimes in some of the cases newer homes. So we know they have function in some French drain and so on and so forth. So you have to be mindful of where really it came from. You know, we understand it came from the drain, but where else? Now, as far as from, you know, around your home, there's not much you could do except go with aggressive landscaping by which you slope the water out, the land out from your home as much as you can. Gutter extensions and you know, typically things like that will help. You know, there's no magic bullet to what happened. It's a natural disaster. I mean, a lot of the homes could not take it.
Would a sump pump be a solution as well?
If you have a high water table, a sump pump is always a good solution in case where you have a lot of buildup under the slab and you want to make sure to pump that out. So it does not hurt. It's a good idea to have it, specifically if you have an area where you know you have a higher water table than usual. Or
I'm higher than the city. I'm about 6 to 8 feet higher than the street.
So, I mean... you're less likely to be flooded. You're less likely to be having hydrostatic pressure as much as your neighbors would. But, you know, it's going to be, unfortunately, is one of these things. Let's wait and see. So if the weather patterns are going to be repetitive like this.
Yeah, there's Hurricane, you know, Ernesto is doing its work there. So probably we're going to feel some of that as well. So
that's right.
Thank you for calling in.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right.
Have
we've
a great
got
day.
Thank you too. Jack on the line, Jimmy. We've got Jack. Jack, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hi, Jack. What's your question for Walter?
A question. It has to do with water infiltration from the roof. Okay. Long story short, it's a building, it's a duplex, it was built in the 50s. So the cupboards, it's in a cupboard, one of the wall cupboards in the corner of the kitchen. The cupboards were built on site. They didn't do the prefab stuff and install it like they do now. Anyhow, the thing is, there's a false ceiling. The top of the cupboard is not at the top of the ceiling. There's a 9-inch panel of whatever they use, drip rock or whatever, to block the space between the top of the cupboard and the actual ceiling of the room.
Okay, so you have a bulkhead, yeah?
Yeah, okay, perfect. And so what's happened, inside the cupboard, the ceiling area, the top layer, the paint is peeling off, okay? It's peeling for a little while now, just a tiny bit, but with all the rain we had, it's increased a bit, okay? My question is this, do I assume, I touched it this morning, an hour ago, and it's dry, okay? My question is this. It's also a flat roof. It's a duplex. It's a flat roof with the gray gravel. So in the summertime, the roof is hot as hell. Okay, my question is this. should I assume that there's mold on the top side of the false ceiling? Because the paint is peeling off. Okay, it's a horizontal surface.
Yeah.
It's the false ceiling inside the cupboard.
Paint peeling off does not necessarily mean mold or water damage.
Okay.
It just, when was the last time this cupboard was painted?
I don't know. It could have been 5 or 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
Okay. So if it's been a long time, there is a good chance that there was latex and not super acrylic paint that was used, meaning these types of paints are less rubberized and they tend to flake and they tend to crack.
Okay.
And if that's the case, if that is the case, I'm not saying that that's ultimately the case.
Right.
Then it's just the paint itself that have cracked. There's no other magic answer to it. You know, that's why now we use more super acrylic paint because it's more elastic and it's more rubbery.
I'm going to ask you just to hold that thought right now. I'm going to remind everybody that we're listening to the Home Improvement Show. Walter Assey and Joanne Breckus, stay on the line. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Walter Assey, president of Vernovco, is still here. He's taking your calls, 514-790-0800. Before the break, Jack was on the line, and Walter, you were talking about the paint, right? You want to finish that answer?
Yeah, so Jack, not necessarily that we see paint that's cracking, that necessarily means you have a water damage. But it doesn't mean that you do not watch it, you do not feel it, you do not survey it. Especially in times where there's big downpours, that's the time where you want to see if it's getting softer or getting bigger or discoloring.
Okay.
So that's pretty much where I would take it. You know, if it's a water damage and it's leaking, you would see wrinkles, you would see ballooning and delamination of the drywall, and then eventually you will start seeing mold or you're seeing drops coming down. So I would look at the discoloration, and I would search survey it as it goes. How old is it?
The patches, or not the patches, the pieces of paint,
yeah.
All the layers, whatever was put on over the years, you know, what is it, 70 years almost, they're hanging, and they're roughly 6 by 6 inches. It's not just cracks in the paint. The pieces of paint are actually hanging down. They're suspended from the ceiling itself.
Okay.
But I was able to touch it on the drywall or whatever it is back in those days, and it is dry at this point. So one quick last thing, I think perhaps what may have helped avoid the bigger problem is that the roof gets really hot because it's a gray gravel roof. And this is right, you know, the summertime, like now, the sun is, there's no shade trees around the building. So the sun is cooking the roof all day long.
Okay, I don't see how is that a good thing.
I'm sorry?
How is that a good thing?
Basically, it's not like you have water coming in, and then, excuse me, the large trees, you know, maple trees or whatever, 4 stories tall, are shading the roof. The roof is exposed to the sun all day long. That's the southwest corner of the building. So it gets hot sun exposure all day long.
Okay, I mean, if the roof is leaking, that does not really change anything. What really you want in a good functionality in the roof is you don't want a tar and gravel roof to get very hot because sun is the enemy of tar.
And exactly.
So it will crack and will create water damage. One of the tricks I can give you is to go with white gravel. Because you don't want the roof to overheat. You don't want even the attic to overheat. You don't want your house to overheat. So if you go with white gravel, specifically that you're not shaded, you don't have trees, actually that's a good thing for the drains because you're less likely to have debris flying that's good to clog your drains, and that will create you another problem.
Exactly.
But maybe you should entertain white gravel because that will help elongate the life of your roof.
Okay.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you so much for your help, for all the people. I really appreciate your help. Take care.
All right, you too. Okay, we've got time for one last call. We've got Pat on the line. Pat, can you hear us?
Yes, hello.
Pat, is that you, Pat?
Yes.
All right,
yes,
what's your question for Walter?
Hi, Walter.
Hi.
Yes, I have a duplex, and the hallway is straight, so my rooms are on the side, and the kitchen is in the back. And whenever I open up the sink, in my room on the left, I hear a tick, 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 which there's the drain from that room that goes down to my laundry room. And I can't figure out if it's the tubes that are shaking or it's there's a leak maybe in the wall.
Pat, you don't see this, but Walter has his investigator eyes on now. His eyebrows changed position.
I'm curious.
I'm like, the tick, tick, tick. Is that like a clock or a bomb? Or
no, 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 no.
Tick, tick, tick. All right. What it is probably, what you're probably is telling me, and I could have misunderstood, is you open the water, you close the water, and then a while after you hear the tick, 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 right?
No, as soon as I open the water,
yeah,
in the sink, I mean in the kitchen, the wall, there's a room right next to the kitchen, okay, yeah. One of the rooms, and that's the only room, and when I open the wall, I see the drain going all the way down, so I have my laundry room downstairs. Mm-hmm. Which is the basement,
yeah.
the main floor, and the tube, and then I have one apartment upstairs, which is a duplex, right? Yeah. So when I open my water, the hot water or cold water, I hear, and then when I shut it off, it stops. The tick tick stops.
Okay, I mean the tick tick. If it's from the drain, usually it means there's debris at one of the angles of the plumbing stack that the water is hitting and it's making that ticking noise. So it's either hair or anything like that. One of the things you could do is to fish down the drain and have it cleaned up. To see if that's really the issue. Because more likely than that, the ticking noise is that type of debris. And it's usually not in the vertical stack. It's usually as soon as your stack starts changing angles. So it tends to accumulate there and will create you that type of a noise. Now, if that noise is combined with shaking, then we're talking about something that's completely different.
No, ticking it's and not, shaking?
It's not shaking. It's just... I hear the water, dropping. Yeah. I hear, but the walls are not wet. I open the wall, from that room, I have the other apartment upstairs.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a leak under the sink.
Not necessarily, no. Not necessarily. If you don't see the water, if you don't see it leaking, it's more likely coming from the drain itself. There's some accumulated debris at one of the angles, and that's what you're hearing.
Okay. But
so to snake it out, first step.
To try to fish it out. That's the first step. That's correct.
Why did I say snake? Is that a thing?
A snake. What? Yeah, it's a plumbing snake.
Okay.
I fish it out? What do you mean by fishing it out?
You pass a fish through your drain, and you, I mean, if you have, if you own one, or if you...
have one. I have the electric one, yes.
Yeah, so you...
You mean the drain from the sink?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You go as far down as you can.
Okay. And I go as far as I can.
Yeah,
okay.
And tell me if that works.
Thanks for your call, Pat.
Hey, thank you, Walter. Thank you very much.
Guys. All right.
My pleasure.
Good luck with the tick, tick, tick. That does it for us for today. Walter, you've helped a lot of people. I'm sure people are just screaming questions at you everywhere you go at this point.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, listen, maybe next week we don't have another disaster.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see. All right. That does it for us.